Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
From the context of God's desire to bless you in a financial way. Now, I realize this subject we're going to talk about today, including tithing and giving, has a tendency to ruffle religious feathers. It has a tendency to rub the fur the wrong way. Y'all know what I mean. Now, I'm not a pet person, but I know when you rub a dog or pet a dog, you can rub with the fur or against it. And if you rub against the fur, it just, you know, that's... So if this rubs your fur the wrong way, let me explain something to you. Turn the dog around. Because God's not moving, okay? Just to encourage you that, okay? So I'm going to cover this from two sides. The tithing and giving part will rub your fur the wrong way, maybe, but don't leave. I'm telling you, every time I share about this, people get ticked off and leave in the middle. It's okay if you want to get ticked off and leave, but stick around to the end so you have the full picture before you can get angry really well, okay? And then on the other side of it, people get angry when you talk about God being a good God. That God wants to bless you. And God wants to bring even financial blessing into your life. Now, I don't have time to reiterate all the points we talked about last week. We went through multiple scriptures to show you God's desire to bless His people, even in a material way. And so, of course, there's all the things people as well. You know, the Bible says that money's the root of all evil. No, it doesn't. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Can I tell you how you cure the love of money? Be a giver. It's the balance. Prosperity kept is typically not prosperity at all. It's just hoarded. And then on the other side of that, I just want to encourage you that when you consider that God wants to do so much in your life, He wants to bless you. He wants to lift your life. Listen to what Proverbs 10:22 says. He said, "It is the Lord's blessing that brings wealth." Everyone say, "The Lord's blessing brings wealth." And never does it bring trouble as well. Notice the Bible said it is God's blessing that brings wealth. Wealth is not negative. Now, our culture today, if you listen to the political landscape, they're actually attacking wealth. But the thing that's almost disgusting, the people saying it are all wealthy. Hypocrisy. And just in class warfare and all that nonsense that politicians do to maintain power, regardless of political party. God is not against wealth. Money is neutral. It depends whose pocket it's in. But I know, Pastor, I know people that have been destroyed by money. You ever see the stories of those people that win the lottery? It ruins their life. The Bible says prosperity will ruin you. No, it doesn't. The Bible said prosperity will destroy a fool. Now, the key is don't be a fool. Now, do you know the Bible will teach you how not to be a fool? How many of you would like a 10-second lesson on what the Bible says, how not to be a fool? You're getting one anyway. The Bible said if you listen to God's voice and hear His wisdom and do it, you're a wise person. If you reject God's word, you're a fool. So the only way prosperity ruins you is if you reject God's plan. That's why He said, I bring wealth, but my money that I bless with in the blessed life doesn't bring trouble as well. So we're not talking, look, there are a lot of people with all kind of money that do not have a blessed life. So money in and of itself is not a blessing. It's money blessing in the context of a blessed life. And so, but how does God, what is the primary way that God uses as an open door to bring His grace, His favor, and His blessing, even financially, into our life? I think we can all agree that the blessed life includes living a life of righteousness and not being tied and bound to sin. How many of you, nobody disagrees with that. Amen. We can go down the line of all the things that, you know, that God desires this and God desires that until you talk about money. People get religious. But I want you to be biblical instead of religious. Now, God's ways are not our ways. Do you know God's primary way of providing His resources into your life that will open the door of grace and favor and literally the exercise of your faith? The primary way that the scripture talks about that happening is through your tithing and your giving. Now let's stop right now because I said a 5-letter word. Tithe. Ooh. Because right now I promise you there are people going, man, if I'd have known it was about that, I wouldn't have come. Oh, and right now you're doing math in your head. The tithe means a tenth. You're doing the math and you might be thinking, oh man, now can we really get under the surface and how a lot of people really are thinking? Church is all they want, your money. It's one of those money sermons. Money, 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 money. No. See, listen, at least wait till the end before you draw a conclusion. But I want to encourage you to understand something. As a pastor, I am called of God to give you the whole counsel of God. And really not just the part that I like or you like. And that the whole counsel, someday I'll stand before a living God and I'll give an account. Do you know that this doorway, this avenue of tithing and giving is the avenue God has chosen to bring blessing into people's lives? Amen. And I have a responsibility to provide that doorway to you. And the fact of it is, and if I don't, I fail you as a pastor. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 said, God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, do you understand that this scripture, I've actually heard the scripture quoted in the context of horrific issues in people's lives, a terrible plane crash or car crash, something terrible, terrible, terrible happens. I've actually heard it said at funerals. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Almost indicating that this horrible thing in your life, somehow God did it for a reason. No, Jesus made it really clear that God is good. Amen. He said, "I have come to give you life and life abundantly. It is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy," referring to Satan and his kingdom. "If it steals, if it kills, if it destroys, it did not come out of the heart of your Father. He is a redeemer." So I don't understand all the bad things that happened and why. Join the club. I don't have every answer in the world, neither do you. God hasn't saw fit to come to me every day of the world and say, "John, let me show you the big picture of everything because I'm going to make you God." No, I walk with Him, but I know that His will is to do good in my life. Do you know right before He said this in the Word, it said, "Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. For my ways are not wicked and unrighteous. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Now let me talk to you about two words that we're going to kind of interchange throughout this message. And they're going to sound like really boring words, but will you stick with me? You won't? Steve, are you going to stick with me? Okay, Steve's with me. Yeah. Okay. Reformation and redemption. The word reformation, where we inside that you see the word reform, to change. For example, tithing. If you don't tithe 10% of your income into the kingdom of God, then a reformation needs to happen in your life and you need to begin. Now, if you stop there, it makes God about... It takes the Father out of God. It takes the Father heart out of God and it makes Him a religious taskmaster. And yet, God doesn't want to reform your life or my life. He has redeemed you. Redemption is that He takes you broken. He takes you sin-stained. He takes you with nothing to offer Him. And He redeems you to Himself because He loves you. And because of that love, He does a reformation in your life. Now, can I ask you a question? Any of you that are parents, how many of you have ever tried to tell your kids advice because you want to redeem and lift and help and they hear reformation? Come on. You tell them and they're going... But inside they're going, and you're saying, "No, honey, please listen to me. I want you, if you'll listen to me, I can help you." And I'm telling, you're trying to give them advice, and inside they're just going, right? We're just the same with our Heavenly Father. His counsel to us is to redeem, not to reform. If there is any reformation, it's to bring redemption. Let me give you an example. God's word says this. Remember, every demand for reformation is couched and accompanied by God's desire to redeem. Jesus said, "Give reformation and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, I will cause men to pour into your life." Redemption. But it starts, He didn't say, He said, "You give reformation and I will cause men to give into your bosom." God said, "I'll show up." Honor your father and mother. Reformation. For it's the first commandment with promise. And then here's the promise. That it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. We tell our kids that all the time. When you honor mom and I, the Bible gives you a promise that it will be well with you and you'll live long upon the earth. It is God's word. So what's the reformation? Honor your father and mother. What's the redemption? That it may be well with you. You'll live long upon the earth. Malachi, or if you're Italian, the book of Malachi, says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. In the context of our lives, will be your local church, whatever church you attend. Bring all the tithe. That is a tenth. A tithe is simply this. It's a Hebrew word meaning a tenth part. So out of everything you make, take a tenth of it and bring it into your local church for the kingdom, for the operation of the kingdom of God. That's reformation. Let me tell you, if you're a tither, you know how you had to reform and the thoughts you had to go through. And if you're not right now, you're thinking, please shut up and let me go home now. Because all you hear is reformation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. But what does he say? And you prove me, put me to the test, and you watch me. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing. You'll not have room enough to receive it. Reformation. Not reformation, but redemption. If you focus on the reformation, all you'll do is have a religious picture of God. He's a redeemer. You remember the guy in the Bible called the rich young ruler? Had it all. He was rich, he was young, and he had power. Now, you might have money and power, but you might be like me past the young part. I'm not a young person. I'm 52. That's still young, but I'm not like 20-something. This dude was in his 20s. He was wealthy. He had authority and power. The boy had it all. He came to Jesus, said, good master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said this to him. He said, go take everything you have, everything, and give it to the poor. And then listen to this sentence, and come and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sad because he had many possessions. Jesus shook his head probably. Here's what he said. How hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples were astonished because if rich people can't have it, who can? They were like, then who can be saved? And here's the key. Number one, let me bring some clarification to you. When you hear that camel going through the eye of a needle, most of us picture a little needle in the eye of a needle that you need help to get through that little thread through it. And you see a camel trying to push through it. That's not what the eye of the needle was. The eye of the needle was a gate in the city. The eye of the needle was a pedestrian gate in the city. You see, during the day, the main gate of commerce would be open. At night, they would close it to bring safety to the city and to properly guard the city. So the main gate during the day would be wide open. So a rich man could enter into the city with all of his possessions. Camels were the U-Hauls of the day. So let's say a wealthy man had 20 camels. Well, he could enter into the city carrying all of his possessions unencumbered. But now it's nightfall. They close the main gate and they open the pedestrian gate called the Eye of the Needle, which it means just what it says. It's a smaller, it's difficult to get through because it's to protect the city. Now, to get a rich man into the city through the eye of the needle, you've got to strip his camels of all of their substance, get them on their knees, walk them on their knees through the gate, then carry each of that reloaded on the camels and go forward. It would be like if you were moving to Cleveland, Ohio. Why? I don't know. No offense to Cleveland. Well, yeah, it's all right. Offend Cleveland. And you're moving to Cleveland and you're going on the turnpike and you're about to go into Ohio through the toll gate and you have an 18-wheeler, big old truck full of your possessions, but it's after hours and for you to get into Ohio, you have to personally unload the whole semi-truck, walk across the border and then carry each piece and then reload it and drive on. How many of you know you're going to go at a different time of the day? That's all he said. For a rich man to enter in the kingdom, he's going to have to leave all of it outside, come in just as he is before God, and you can bring it right back in behind you. And then Peter said this, Master, we've left all. We did exactly what... See, remember Jesus came to Peter, said the same thing. Leave your business, come and follow me. The Bible said Peter dropped the nets and went. Peter heard that and he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, you know what you told that boy to do? I did it. He said, we have left all and followed you. In other words, look what we've done for you. And you know what Jesus said to him? Because let me tell you, to walk up to someone and say, leave it all, or to give it all, is some reformation going on in your life. And the Bible said the rich young ruler went away sad because he had many possessions. Peter heard that and he said, whoa, 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 Jesus, we left it all. What about us? And here's what Jesus said. No man has left houses, lands, father, mother, sister, brother, or anything. For my sake in the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time and in the life to come, eternal life? That's redemption. What he was saying, boys, don't you think for a minute that you're going to stand before an almighty God and he will be in your debt. God will be indebted to no man. Don't you ever think for a million years you will outgive God. It's impossible. For God so loved the world, he didn't give a tithe. He didn't give money. He didn't take a chunk of heaven. He gave a son. And that's what the Bible said. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? He's a giver. And Jesus was saying, boys, listen to me. Don't you think you laid anything down for God. While you're living on this earth, he'll get you back 100-fold of it. And in the life to come, you'll have eternal life. Now, look what Proverbs chapter 3 says. Now, let me say this. This is going to get tight again in the room, all right? Y'all know what I mean by that? See, when you speak all the time, you can feel when a room tightens or when people get uncomfortable. And I understand that, but if you'll stick with me, I promise you by the end, this will not encumber you. Okay? God is not intent. See, if all you hear is reformation, but if you hear redemption, there's a doorway into the blessing of heaven. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit or the first part of all your income. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Everybody say plenty. Now say overflow. Can I ask you something about God? Does God not know when the cup gets full? How many think God's smart enough to know when a cup's full? Well, why does he keep pouring? Because that's who he is. He's a too much God. He's called in Hebrew El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. Literally, it means the many-breasted one. More than what you would need to supply. And listen to the redemption and listen to the reformation. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with your tithe, the first fruit of all your income. That's reformation. And then he said, here's the redemption. And I'll fill your barns with plenty and I'll overflow your vats. What's overflow? Think of God who made the universe. Now come on to planet Earth, which is a speck. Now find you and hold up your cup and ask God just to fill it. Guys, it's like drinking. It is like drinking from a fire hose. It's like they just turn that thing on, you go, and it blasts you backwards. We're talking about God himself wanting to work in your life and to touch you even in a material way. He's the God of the too much. He's the God of the overflow. And he said the doorway in which you open to me to be able to bring my favor in your life, to bring my grace in your life, and to be able to bless you in a way that is beyond your capacity is by honoring me with your income. The Bible calls it the tithe, which is certainly reformation. Look, if you don't give a tenth of your earnings and income into the kingdom of God, it's going to take some reformation in your life. But God, can I encourage you to understand? We're going to talk about the tithe today, but we're going to talk about the tithe that brings redemption into your life. Now, let me say this. Tithing isn't even giving. It's simply stewardship. Because the Bible says, listen to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. And all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's or it belongs to God. It is holy to the Lord. Say the tithe is holy. The word holy means sanctified or set apart. So a dime of every dollar you make, God said, is mine. It belongs to me. I set that apart unto me for my purposes in the earth. He said, it belongs to me. So tithing really isn't giving. Tithing is recognizing what isn't yours and stewarding it properly. That will help you in the context of being a tither. Because the tithe isn't even a gift. It's simply stewardship. God said, a dime of every dollar belongs to me. Now, let's be real clear. All of it belongs to God. Not just the money. The Bible said, my body belongs to God. You're not your own, the scripture said. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your body. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Do you know, stewarding your body, it's not your body. You can't do anything you want with this thing. It's not yours. It belongs, and you came at a high price. He purchased you with his blood. And so what he's trying to get across, the tithe belongs to God. It's his already. And all tithing is stewarding it. Tithing is learning to steward what is not yours. And it has a huge value in your life beyond money. Can I be really plain? Tithing and giving has virtually little to nothing to do with money. And it has everything to do with redemption and walking with God, experiencing His favor, and learning to handle what is not yours properly. Can I tell you this? If your little girl is going to get married and she's dating a kid who says he's a Christian, find out from that. And this is, I'm not joking now. I teased a lot about, you know, going to prison for my daughters and all that. I'm still willing to do it. But obviously, I said that facetiously. But listen, if a kid comes to me and says, you know, Pastor John, I'm falling in love with your daughter. We've been dating and we really feel like we want to get married. I'd like to talk to you about, I want to ask her to marry me. I'm going to ask him, I want to know how you handle your money. Amen. I don't want to know how much you make. Because listen, son, you may be dirt poor. I don't care. Now, you better have potential. Okay? I mean, somebody who's going to shoot for something with their life. Because you're carrying my daughter with you. So I don't care about your money. I want to ask you this. What do you do with the money that you earn that belongs to God? Do you spend it on yourself? On what you want, what you need? Because can I tell you something? A young man that will do that will someday use my daughter for what he wants. He does not see, that's why if you can't steward money, what the Bible said, which is the least, how can you steward what is the most precious, which is people? And so it's a simple test you pass. How do I handle what doesn't belong to me? Because my daughter is not his possession. And because if he does treat her improperly, he does harm and injure her, now I have to go back to being a pastor and do a funeral. No divorce, just a funeral. No, all kidding aside. It's important to understand. Stewardship is critical in your life. And Hebrews 7, verse 8, listen to, this is in the New Testament. By the way, people say, well, tithing's under the law, and I understand all that stuff. But actually, you're wrong. Tithing is in the law, but it was not originated in the law. Tithing was originated 430 years before the law in Abraham, who is the father of us all. And even before Abraham, there were pictures and types and shadows of tithing. It is a part of the law, but it was not originated in the law. So look at Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, verse 7 and 8. Again, let me qualify this. I wrote a little booklet, put this together for you. On your way out, they're going to give you this. It's the Blessed Life. And it actually is going to give answers to a lot of questions you may have about the subject of tithing. Because my intent today is not to give you a great Bible dissertation to try to convince you of a subject. My hope is to show you a doorway to redemption. To the blessed life. And so this will be available for you when you leave today. And they'll hand them out to you as you go and take it and read it at your leisure. But look at Hebrews chapter 7. Here, mortal men, or men that die, receive the tithes. But there, he, referring to God, receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. He's simply saying this. Here on earth, when you bring your tithe, you're gonna be bringing it into a system with people that die. Mortal people. But as you do that, with men that die, you understand, there he receives them. And now listen to this caveat. And he lives. In other words, don't look like you're giving your money to men that die. You're not. There he receives them. And those men that die are limited in their capacities to do anything for you. But what he's simply saying is this. The one who lives forever, when he receives them, you're back to them. You're back to the scripture where it says, give, and it shall be given back to you. He said, I will cause men to give into your bosom. I would rather have 10 seconds of the favor of God on my life than all the money in the world. Favor is priceless. God opening doors that no man can close. I'm telling you guys, this is the way to the favor and the blessing of God. You don't earn it. It's a matter of grace and faith and trust. Tithing and giving is a matter, sure, of reforming our lives, reforming our actions. But guys, it is based on an understanding that we have a redeeming God who wants to do amazing things in our life. Now look, I know right now the room's uncomfortable for some people. I understand that. And I'm going to lift that burden by the Word of God here in a moment for you. But I want it to rest on you for a minute, and here's why. Because if you're uncomfortable right now, it proves that your belief system is trapped in that you see God as a God of reformation and not a God that's redeeming you and not a God that has a desire to do good for you. And look, and I would tell you this, many pastors won't even preach about this because it's uncomfortable. Nobody wants to be accused of being a money preacher. Nobody wants to have people walk out to that money church. No one likes to be talked about that way. But I also know this, someday I'll stand before God and you won't be there. And he's going to ask me to give an account. Did I share with you the whole counsel of God, or was I afraid of what you would think of me? What you think about me will live and die, because men that die receive your tithe here. But the one in whom I have to do and you have to do lives forever. And so to tell you the honest truth, it is my responsibility to you to provide God's way to the blessed life. Now you can do what the rich young ruler did. You can leave sorrowful. Or you can do what Peter and the others did. Lord, we've forsaken all and honored you and obeyed you. And God said, will say the same thing to you. He said to them, no man will do that I will not return 100-fold and eternal life. Look at Malachi chapter 3. This is one of the foundational tithing scriptures in the Old Testament. And if you're Italian, we could call it the book of Malachi. Okay? For those Italians, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Ever since, this is God speaking to his people, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and not kept them. Return to me, reformation, and I will return to you, redemption. Will a man rob God? This is God speaking. Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? Here's his answer. In tithes and offerings. And you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Remember, the tithe belongs to God. Keeping it is robbing God. So what's the answer? Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food or substance in my house. That's reformation. And now listen to this. This is the only place that I can find in the Bible where God said this. Put me to the test. Test me in this, says the Lord, and you see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you'll not have room enough to receive it. That's redemption. It's the only place in the Bible that God said, test me. And we're going to do just that. And I've never done this in 19 years, but I was compelled in my heart to do it, and we're going to do it. In the seat pocket in front of you is a little card like this. Everyone take it out. Find one and take it out. There should be several in front of you. It's a tithe challenge. It's not a tithe challenge from your pastor or your church. It's a tithe challenge from our God. He said, test me. I want to talk to you for a minute. Now it's going to get real uncomfortable. Stick around. It will get better. Okay? Because look, I know right now people are doing math. 10%, there's no way. I can't do that. And people, and you'll struggle. Please, please, keep your heart open, your ears open. Listen, listen. He said, test me. Put me to the test. Three simple things on here. I'll begin to tithe. I'll return to tithing. I am a tither. And write your name and put it in the offering at the end of the service. No one's going to look at it. We're not going to come to show up at your house. Listen, this is fun. It's sad, but it's actually, this is true. It's kind of funny. We've actually had rumors started about our church, and sadly, it's from another pastor I found out, that said when you come here, that you have to meet with the second in command. I don't know what that means, but that's probably you, Steve Moore. And you have to bring your tax returns. And he reviews them. See, now do you all know why I don't like him? Can you imagine somebody doing something like that to you? And the person who told him that was kind of tongue-in-cheek laughing like, I know this is crazy, but this is actually being said. Now look, I realize that people can say what they want, but the fact of it is, your God and my God said, test me. And I want to encourage you to take a 90-day challenge. Now, for some of us in this room, and again, this doesn't go to anybody. This isn't going to be recorded in the sense that someone said, we're not going to show up at your house and send you letters. You wrote your name. Now we're, because the truth of it is, most people don't see God as the God of redemption, who is a heavenly father. They see him the God of reformation, or the Godfather. I need to do a whole series called Messages from the Godfather. Because here's really how people see this. God shows up and he says,
now, I'm going to ask you for 10%. I want 10%. Now listen, if you choose not to, that's okay. But I will show up at your house. And then you will wish you gave me 10%. But that aside, we're fine. But don't disappoint me.
Most people see God like the Godfather. Like they're paying extortion. They're paying hush money, protection. No, no, no. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer. He's not the Godfather. He's Father God. And so for some of us in this room, can I tell you this? Let me say this as well. At this stage in my life, in my walk with God, 10% is the starting point. If Michelle and I only gave 10% of our money, we'd be in disobedience. It is our desire to live on less and less and less and give more and more and more. You want to see the cure to materialism? Be a giver. Learn to have a desire. And I mean a desire. Not some religious oppression. A desire. How do we give more? How do we give more? How do we give more? Not out of burden, because it truly is an amazing thing to be put in that position in life. It's incredible. For some of us in this room, 10% is no big deal to you. Oh, you'll have to reform some things. You have to change. You have to make a decision whether you're going to be the rich young ruler, that you're going to go away sorrowful because of your possessions and miss out on what God wants to do in your life as well. But that's not as difficult. Now, let me say this. Any change you make in your life has to come by the mercy and the grace of God. And His grace will be upon you to make it. But let me talk about, for many people today. You've done the math since you've sat here. You know how much money you carry through the end of the month, if at all. And you start thinking, what's 10%? Pastor, is that on the gross or the net? Are you serious? Really? Who cares? This isn't about legalism. Whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you have a peace about, do that. Say, well, what if I'm wrong? So what? This isn't about legalism. What I would say to you is this. If you're in that position, I want you to take this challenge at this level. What percentage will you give into the kingdom of God that will require you to put God to the test? It may not be 10%. It may be much less. But you go to a point to where you say, Lord, this is going to take faith, and I'm going to put you to the test. Now, look, you want to believe God moved to that basement place of 10% in your life. Every Christian should get there. But God, this is where people get all worked up, and this is where the God of Reformation is, and the Godfather deal.
It's 10% or else.
It's not the deal. It's not about the money. It's not about the percentage. Because can I tell you that God doesn't need my money? God's God. Like one guy said, God, I brought you all my money. I'm going to throw it up. Whatever you catch, you keep. Whatever comes down is mine. But you get before God. You look at your life. Say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to put you to the test. And I'm going to do this for 90 days. I'm going to start with my next check. And I'm the 90 days. And it may not be 10% to begin with. It may be whatever percentage that you have to trust God and believe Him. And put Him to the test. I promise you this. I know beyond a shadow of any doubt, because I know my God. In the next 90 days, I'm going to hear, I bet 30, 40 people will stop me out there and say, Pastor John, I'm telling you, God showed up in my life. And it isn't just money. He's faithful. And He said, I want to bring redemption into your life. See, let this be a time where you experience the faithfulness and the redemption of God. Not a time where you feel pressure. That's why I really believe I just have such a peace. I know in my heart to tell you, don't make it about 10%. Certainly a tithe is a tithe, and it is always will be. And you want to move to that in faith. But start somewhere. Because sometimes the amount is so great that people just never, they just, well, if I can't do that, I guess I'll do nothing. Don't make it about the money. Don't make it about the exact percentage. Don't make it gross net. Make it about proving God. And watch Him move in your life. Watch Him do great things in your life. Watch Him open doors that no man can close. And you'll live at a level you never dreamed possible. And I don't mean money. I'm talking about knowing that you have a God who loves you and intimately wants to be involved in your life from horizon to horizon, including your money. How many of you would like this to be the best year of your life? I'm serious. How many of you would like this to be the best year of your life? Amen. It will only be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. Is that your spiritual life? Oh, here comes the Reformation. No. It's about yielding to the Father that loves you. And believing His love, trusting His love. Obedience is born is enhanced, is made possible only in an atmosphere where a person knows they're loved. Do you know slaves obey their masters for fear? But you can obey your parents based on love. God doesn't want slaves. He wants sons and daughters who trust Him, who don't do what the rich young ruler did. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just simply fill it out. Write your name. I'm beginning to, I'm returning to, or I already do. Drop it in the offering and make this your commitment to God for 90 days. Trust Him. See what He'll do in your life. I want to pray over you as you make this step, as you believe God. So I'm going to pray about it. Don't pray about obeying God. It's like being married, looking at your spouse. I'm praying about that adultery thing. Just you know, be praying with me about that. How many of you don't pray about adultery? Okay, maybe we need to do is teaching. You don't do that, okay? Don't pray about it. Either obey it or do what the rich young ruler did. Go away sorrowful because of either possessions or fear. Let's pray together. I want to pray over this for you in my life, in our lives together. Father, I thank You. This is not a challenge put forth by a pastor or a church. This is a challenge You put forth in Your Word. You said, test me in this, in the tithe, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing You'll not have enough room for it. And so, Father, I thank You for people today who are either returning or some that already have been doing this, that maybe their expectation now is going to change. Lord, next week as we come into Your Word, we're going to really talk about how to reap the blessing, how to receive from You, how to truly live the blessed life, even materially. Father, I pray for every person today as they make this decision, a decision to sign this into and to check one of these is a decision. A decision not to is a decision. And I ask You, Lord, that for every person who takes this challenge, that they will have leave this place with knowing that they are serving a faithful God. And I know You're faithful. And I know You will do things in the next 90 days because You said, test me. It's the only time in Your Word I find that You said to Your people, test me. And so, Lord, we take the challenge and we trust You. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now, next weekend, I want to encourage you. We're going to go into this in greater depth. And I'm going to talk to you about how to receive, how to get your faith out there by the grace of God and expect God to show up in your life, even in the material realms. Next week as well, I want to remind you, next week is the week now, singing and dancing, not just dancing, but singing from Steve Moore. I'm telling you, thank you, God, that I will get to watch this. And I'll put it on my phone. I'm going to sit in the front row and then just put it right online immediately so people can see it. I'll ask all my friends to send it all over the country. It will change your life. You don't want to miss it. Really, we're going to have a lot of fun with that, okay, next week. Also, all the videos you've seen online, in the service last week, are available. Go right to our main webpage, lifeatvictory.com. You'll see them right under the banner for the blessed life. And you can click on those and watch it. There are more videos we're going to even show as they expand their testimonies next week. And as we're doing everything I know to do to be able to help you to step into the territories of living the blessed life. Would you bow your heads today as we pray? I want to encourage every one of you here today. And also forgive me as we end today. I'm not going to be able to be out greeting you. I have to leave right after the service. And so if you're here for the first time, I'm usually out there in the cafe and I'd love to see you. And every Sunday I just hang out there and I'd love to meet you. But today I have to leave right after the service. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of your life, you say, Pastor, I don't know what would happen to me. If today I slipped into eternity, where would I spend my forever? Please understand that Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. And He died on the altar of that cross so that you could walk with Him and know Him and have eternal life. You won't go to heaven because you're a good person or you're a member of a church or received the sacrament of a church. No church can make you right with God, including the one you're in. But I would ask you this. What have you done with the Savior? Have you ever invited the Savior into your life to make Jesus the Lord of your life? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, this morning, you'd say to me, Pastor John, I want to receive Christ into my heart. Would you please pray for me? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to receive Christ into your heart today, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer right where you're seated. Would you lift your hand high so I can see it? And we'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not. Thank you. God bless you so much. Thank you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, you desire to be included in that prayer, just lift it real high so I can see it. And then when it's acknowledged, put it right back down. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you so much. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud when you hear it with your very own ears. At the conclusion of the service this morning, here in a few moments, Pastor Steve will give you some additional information that will help you in your spiritual journey. But right now, just pray with me and we'll all pray it together with you to make Christ the Lord of your life. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my debt of sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.